Good morning, church family, and welcome to the Word. Would you please turn in your Bible to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we're going to be reading some verses in Philippians chapter 4. As we bring to a conclusion our little series on dealing with your feelings the Bible way, and perhaps it is appropriate that on Palm Sunday we should deal with that awful feeling of anxiety, because when King Jesus reigns in our lives, we are set free from unnecessary anxiety. And so Paul, writing to the Philippians, says from verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." May God bless His word to us this morning. It's very obvious when you listen to Jesus delivering His Sermon on the Mount that Jesus wants us to live a life that is free of unnecessary anxiety. The Apostle Paul goes so far as to say, as we've just read, "Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything." Now you know as well as I do that neither Jesus nor the Apostle Paul were living in a kind of vacuum, an unreal world. Both were living in a broken, fallen world. In fact, living in an occupied territory under the domination of sometimes rather vicious Roman Caesars and a fairly uncouth succession of territorial governors and kings. Jesus owned no property, he lived close to poverty, and the Apostle Paul was writing from prison. Now we need to be clear then on a few things as we set out on our subject this morning and deal with that awful feeling of anxiety that I know only too well. Right up front, we need to make it clear that worry is normal for us human beings in a broken and fallen world. It would be unnatural not to worry about some things. And worry, like fear, can have a good side to it, alerting us to danger or harm. Jesus teaches what we're not to worry about and how not to worry about it, why we don't have to worry about those things. Jesus wants us as citizens of the kingdom of God to live a life that is free from unnecessary anxiety. A certain degree of anxiety or worry is natural, normal. The second thing that we need to be clear on is that there's a very big difference between the odd feeling of anxiety and an anxiety disorder, which is a state of anxiety that is unnatural, unhealthy, and positively harmful. An anxiety condition that is akin to a mental illness that needs professional help and spiritual treatment, specialized treatment, intelligent counsel, and controlled medication. How we thank God for that kind of help, which is just another provision of his grace and goodness in our fallen world. But in our sermon today, we're dealing with unnecessary anxiety. The English dictionary defines anxiety as a state of uneasiness or tension caused by apprehension of possible danger or misfortune, a state of intense apprehension. A feeling of anxiety can precede an anticipated difficulty or danger, and a state of anxiety can follow a very distressing experience, and as we have said, may need professional help to overcome. The Greek word in the New Testament means to be divided or distracted. The mind and emotions going in many directions at the same time. Now, when that state is sustained and intense, it can cause anything from irritable bowel syndrome to a complete breakdown of mental, emotional, or physical well-being. And as you may know, anxiety can attract a number of lousy relatives, like phobias and addictions. Life in the 21st century, I think you'll agree with me, has produced 1,001 things to worry about every day. Life in Jesus' day was hard, but a lot simpler. People in Israel worried about the climate. Would there be enough water to drink, to see one through the season? Would there be enough food on the table? Would there be sufficient clothes to clothe the family? And so Jesus uses these basic issues as his illustrations in the Sermon on the Mount. The word worry comes from an old English term which means to choke, to strangle. Worry can strangle the mind, choke the emotions, constrict the arteries, and diminish the oxygen supply to the brain and the body. Extreme anxiety can cause a panic attack. And if you've ever had a panic attack, you'll know what a terrible and shocking experience that is. You feel like your whole being is coming apart, and that you've lost control of what is happening in your life. And here comes the Lord Jesus to say in the Sermon on the Mount, stop worrying. Matthew 6:25, and in verse 31, don't start worrying. In other words, if you're worrying, quit. And if you haven't started yet, don't. It's a pagan thing to do, he says. That's one. And here comes the Apostle Paul, the prisoner, who has been flogged more severely than anyone, exposed to death again and again, lashed 5 times with 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, sleepless, hungry, thirsty, cold, and naked. And he's the man who says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't let even one thing worry you. Well, having been through what he's been through, he must surely know what he's talking about. As far as the Bible is concerned, unnecessary anxiety for the child of God is a sin. When citizens of the kingdom of God are caught up in a perpetual round of anxiety, they show the following: a blatant distrust in the love of God, the care of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the purpose of God, the power of God, and the promise of God. Yes, it's true. Yet how natural it is to worry about a job, or health concerns, or relationship difficulties, or finances, or politics, and the unknown future. The problem is that worrying about these things gets you nowhere. It shortens your life and your stature. So Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, highlights five things that anxiety will do for you. He pulls no punches. He doesn't sugarcoat the truth. He tells it like it is. Do you remember the old-fashioned dark room where the photographer developed his negatives? Well, when you summarize Jesus' teaching about anxiety in the Sermon on the Mount, he's really saying, worry lets the devil into the dark room of your mind to develop his negatives. Here are the negatives of worry, according to Jesus. Number one, anxiety keeps you from enjoying what you have by making you preoccupied with what you don't have. Anxiety keeps you from enjoying what you have by making you preoccupied what you don't have. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, says Jesus, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Secondly, he says in the negative, anxiety makes you forget your worth. Anxiety makes you forget your worth. Just how valuable you are to the Lord. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Thirdly, he says, anxiety gets you nowhere. It's like running on a treadmill. You exhaust yourself running, but you get off at exactly the same place where you got on. Look at verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Fourthly, he says, anxiety not only saps your energy, it saps your faith. Verse 30, O you of little faith. That's a problem if we're anxious. O you of little faith. And fifthly, he says, anxiety makes you look like and behave like a pagan. Look at verses 31 and 32. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Having listed the negatives, our Lord makes a series of simple, logical deductions, and here they are. Number one, worry is unnecessary for the child of God because we have a heavenly Father who takes care of us. Worry is unnecessary for the child of God because no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, we have a heavenly Father who takes care of us. Casting all your care, all your anxieties, where? Upon him, because he cares for you. Why, he even takes care of the birds of the air and clothes the meadows in splendor. The Sea of Galilee was a crossroads for bird migration, and the grasses and flowers of the field were a sight to behold on the mountainside where Jesus was preaching. You, dear friend, are of inestimable value to God compared to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. So moni warini. Your Father loves you, and he will take care of you. Don't let anxiety shorten your life. Look up at the birds. Look down at the flowers. Take a deep breath. Take it all in. Let it speak to your anxious heart about a loving Heavenly Father who abounds in grace and personal care. Under a microscope, the most glorious garments that man has ever produced look like sackcloth compared to one petal of a flower that God has made. This God is your Heavenly Father, who loves you with an undying love. Flowers are here today, gone tomorrow. You, on the other hand, are not just God's special flower child. You are God's forever child. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never stop caring for you. Never. Said the wildflower to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings run about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the wildflower, Friend, I think that it must be that they have no Heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Jesus teaches us that intense anxiety is not necessary for the child of God. He has a loving Father who will take care of him, come what may. Secondly, Jesus teaches that worry, in essence, is an actual denial of true faith in God. O you of little faith, he says, O you of little faith. And here's the point. How come we can trust God to redeem us? We can trust God to break the shackles of Satan and sin that have bound us. We can trust God to give us eternal life and take us to heaven when we die. But we can't trust him sometimes for the end of the month. It's true. I know it. Jesus is saying, if we worry a lot, we need to get to know the Father better than we do. That's what it's all about. If we worry a lot, Jesus is saying, you need to get to know the Father better than you do. You need to get to know your Heavenly Father like I know him. This, of course, was the secret of Jesus' life. And it's the example he sets before us. As in everything, Jesus himself is our role model. Everything about his life, everything, was governed by his relationship with his Father in heaven. Everything. If he had a theme song, it would be, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to my Father till glory the shine, moment by moment, dear Lord, I'm thine. So here then are six biblical principles in the Sermon on the Mount that will help me, that will help you, that will help us all to handle those awful feelings of anxiety. Our Lord is giving us here the recipe of freedom from worry. Number one, he is saying, control your priorities. No matter what the circumstances, control your priorities. Matthew 6:33. Seek first, not second or third, seek first the reign of God, the rule of God, the will of God, your relationship with God. Seek first the kingdom, the reign of God. What a message for Palm Sunday as we acknowledge that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Seek first the kingship of the Lord and everything else will be added to you. Control your priorities in the midst of dire circumstances. Love God, love people, make disciples. come hell or high water, love God, love people, and make disciples, and God will take responsibility for the rest. Elaine and I made that commitment over 55 years ago. God has never, will never let us down if we just keep loving God, loving people, and making disciples. It's as simple as that. God will take care of the rest. Amen. Control your priorities. That's what he's saying. Only if we skew our priorities will we have reason for unnecessary anxiety. Only if we skew our priorities as citizens of the kingdom of God will we have reason for anxiety. Secondly, Jesus is saying, concentrate on the present. Matthew 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I've been playing that CD in my car one day at a time. Sweet Jesus, just give me the grace to be what I ought to be, one day at a time. Concentrate on the present. Robert Burdett says, and I quote, there are 2 days in the week about which I never worry. 2 carefree days kept sacredly free from anxiety and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, and the other day I do not worry about is tomorrow. It isn't the experience of today that drives men mad. It's the memories from something that happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow may disclose. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Concentrate on the present. And then thirdly, count on God's presence. Count on God's presence. That's what Jesus did. The only time Jesus was totally distraught was when he became our sin bearer, sweated drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then on the cross shed his blood for us. And the Father, as it were, turned his back on Jesus, and there were 3 hours of darkness beginning at midday in Jerusalem, as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? All the rest of the time that Jesus lived on earth, he counted on the presence of his Father, who says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Fourthly, Jesus says, claim God's promises. Matthew 6, 23, if you seek first his reign, his rule in your life, God promises that he'll take care of the rest. So lift your level of thinking to a higher plane when you are unnecessarily anxious. Lift the level of your thinking to a higher plane. And the Apostle Paul tells us what to think about if we are anxious. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, Lord, when I'm anxious, help me to lift the level of my mind to concentrate on the truth as it is in Jesus, and not to allow my mind to get in 1,000 directions in anxious moments. Claim God's promises. Don't feed your worries. Fill them with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then Jesus encourages us to continue in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, says the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Given everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you make known your requests to God. The peace of God, God's peace, which surpasses human understanding, will keep guard over your heart and your mind in your experiential knowledge of the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Continue in prayer. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He will lead the way. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Just lean upon his promise. Why worry when you can pray? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then finally, cultivate patience. And here James comes to our aid saying, let perseverance finish its work so that you'll be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. 6 biblical principles that help us to handle those awful feelings of anxiety. Control your priorities. Concentrate on the present. Count on God's presence. Claim God's promises. Continue in prayer and cultivate patience. For those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up as on eagle's wings. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And we thank you that he was willing to endure the agony of Gethsemane, the torture of the cross of Calvary, that he died and rose again for us and for our salvation, and that one of those reasons was that as children of the kingdom of God, we could be set free from unnecessary anxiety. And so we praise you for the peace of God that surpasses human understanding, for the promise that you will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We praise you for your peace, that Jesus was able to say, my peace I give to you, a peace the world cannot give. We receive that peace by faith today, and we praise you that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.